Hello and welcome to my show. Could you be more specific? I'm your host, Jonathan Steele, coming to you out of Way of the Stay Woke podcast. And on this episode of Could You Be More Specific, I'm going to title this episode Publicity Fallout. So the topics I want to touch on is the recent news going on with the Predator and all the news swirling around with that, with having a sex offender working on set and how that affected Olivia Munn and her participation with the film. And then I'm also going to touch on Eminem. I know he released a recent diss towards MGK, Killshot. I'm going to talk about that and just the overall temperature of what hip-hop has been lately, and especially in regards with Eminem since his new album just came out. But I'm going to start with The Predator. Now, I know I touched on this on a previous pod in terms of this topic where with Olivia Munn and how this affects The Predator film. Now, again, you know, for those of you who probably didn't hear that previous show, I'm just going to kind of touch back on it by just saying that, you know, it was brought to her attention that she did a scene with an actor who is a close friend of the director, Shane Black, and it was brought to her attention that he was a registered sex offender. And so when that was brought out to her, she ended up, you know, informing, I believe, her lawyer and her representatives. And then they ended up contacting Fox about it. Why he was able to be on on this film and not have a background search that was properly done on him. I don't know all the full details of that and what's their procedure, especially in the entertainment industry, in terms of doing background checks on you. It was brought to her attention that, you know, that was a case, and she decided to voice that. And I believe it involved his cousin, who was 14, that he was trying to get his cousin to see him. It was very much like to catch a predator, no pun intended. But, you know, unfortunately, what's happened, because it's now become such a part of the film, I do think in some ways it has hurt the way critics have gone in to watch that film. And it does hurt the overall perception of the film. And that's no fault of, say, Olivia Munn's. It's just unfortunate that this is all happening at this time. Because, you know, whenever something negative is swirling around something, as a public, we will immediately go with the majority. If the majority doesn't like something, then we'll side with that. If the majority does like something, a lot of people turn to kind of jump into that. So from Olivia Munn's standpoint, and from an objective standpoint, she did what any private citizen would do if they were made aware of that. They would want to, you know, inform the people around them up and bring this to their attention. And unfortunately, she was put in that position due to the director and writer of the film, Shane Black. What makes it kind of, you know, more touchy is the fact that, you know, he was in The Nice Guys, although he didn't have a scene with the actress that was playing Ryan Gosling's daughter. He does have a scene with Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe's characters in the film. But of course, you know, when they have premieres, you know, he was there and he was in a photo with the girl that plays his daughter. And is that something that should have been brought to, say, her parents' attention, that, hey, like, she is around a convicted sex offender? You owe it to the people involved that you're going to be working with, especially if you're in a position of power that Shane Black is, to inform them that you're making a decision to hire, even though they're a friend of yours, someone that has a criminal past of that nature. He does owe it to them. Unfortunately, though, beyond that, when it comes to the actual film, I've watched some critics, you know, on certain reviews of The Predator. Some have said that they're not even going to go see the film, and kind of feels that if you do go and support this film, you're in a way kind of okaying or supporting that. And I don't know why we don't do a better job of separating. It could be more than one thing at one time that we can do. You can still condemn the fact that a person who was on a set where one of your leads is a child, who has a younger sister that's on the set as well, I believe, that a sex offender is there. And that should be made note, and that the parents should have been notified of that. And they should have been able to reserve the right to say, hey, do we or do we not want to continue to participate in this project? However, when you have critics that are saying, well, I'm just not going to go see this film because of that, it's one, it's a scene that's no longer in the film. The context of that scene, you know, ironically, is him hitting on Olivia Munn's character in a very kind of gross, you know, way that a lot of guys can sometimes hit on women. So that does further play into the fact of what he was accused of. Again, he's acting, but that doesn't really help you there if in real life you've actually been convicted of something where the behavior you're portraying on screen is very possibly similar. No, so you can't dismiss that. But to say that you're not either going to go see the film just solely based off a scene that's no longer in that film, it feels that you're kind of letting your character or what you support kind of show if you do go. I'm like, well, that's not fair to Sterling K. Brown or Keegan-Michael Key or Trevante Rhodes or Thomas Jane and Boyd Holbrook, to that whole cast of people that worked on that film. They had nothing to do with that. So you want their film to not just be seen, period, because that scene's no longer in the movie, but just because it's surrounding the film. You want that to be the main perception of the film. I don't get. I still don't get that. So I don't think Olivia Munn is, you know, should be made into the bad guy here. She did the right thing in reporting it, and she handled it very well. The mistake was made on Shane Black's part, and he should have informed the cast and crew of that on his previous films of that, and the studio, because it puts Fox, who's distributing this film, in a real bind, because it comes across like, well, what kind of people do you have working these productions? So those are some of the things I just kind of wanted to touch on, you know, with Olivia Munn's situation in regards to The Predator. I may go see that film. I was debating seeing that film maybe sometime this week, just because, you know, I like the first Predator. I actually like the Predator movies overall, except for the Alien versus Predator thing. I'm not really into that. But as far as Predator 1 and 2, I liked, and I like Predators with, ironically, a much newer Mahershala Ali, even though he had been acting for a while, but I remember him from that film. But I overall do like the franchise of the Predator, and it'll be interesting to see how it does in the coming weeks as well. Those are just some of my thoughts, follow-up thoughts on that particular category. I'm now going to transition into another previous topic I covered before, and that's kind of, you know, just touching on Eminem. And I know he had a recent interview, ironically, with Sway that I thought was really good, where he kind of goes into just talking about where he's at and creatively and the people he still associates himself with and some of his opinions on what the genre of rap is. And obviously, it was four parts, I believe, too. I don't think there's anything else additional. I've watched all four parts, and all of them are really fascinating and an interesting watch. And then on Friday, he drops the Kill Shot diss towards MGK. I've heard it a couple of times, and I think it's good. You know, it's not a career-ending thing. And I'm kind of with Peter Rosenberg on Hot 97 talking about that. Like, you don't really kill careers no more. I even heard Sway talk about that. Now we're to the point where you can drop the diss record and it's whatever, you know. Remy Ma dropped a hard diss record on Nicki Minaj. And then she put out a, at best, okay response song with Fraud. You know, it was okay. And it went away. And because she's a big, you know, current, you know, artist, she's able to survive that because she already has built-in relationships with radio and a lot of sponsors and contacts of that nature. So that's why, you know, Nicki was able to survive that. That were like 15, 20 years ago, no. That would have hurt. But in regards to, you know, Eminem dropping the Killshot record, it was good. You know, I still would say I prefer Machine Gun Kelly's Rap Devil song over that. And the reason why is because lyrically, I think he was more so on point with the stuff he's saying, because he was saying stuff that we've all been talking about for years. And another thing that's kind of crazy about it is that he was respectful while he was dissing him. That was so crazy. That was one of the more humbling diss tracks to a rapper that you have a lot of respect for. And yeah, he brought up his record sales. And ironically, you know, in the interview with Sway, Eminem touches on that. He talks about, you know, I can bring up album sales, I can bring this type of stuff up, but he seemed very agitated by Machine Gun Kelly because it's like, hey, I don't want to respond to him because I don't want to give him any more shine. But then if I don't, then I'm letting it slide. And it's just so crazy that 20 years ago, when he was out, or around the time that, you know, I believe 98, 99 was when he came out, that time period. And the stuff that he says about people, that what Machine Gun Kelly said about his daughter, is no different than any of the crazy stuff that Eminem has talked about in his raps when he was younger. You know, this thing cuts both ways. But hey, he still has a right to be upset, but it's like, this is how this goes. And I remember interviews on MTV and places of that where people were just like literally standing over Eminem, paraphrase off his song. And he's like, oh, I don't give a F. I'll do whatever and say what I want. And if you don't like it, you know, it's whatever. It's like, okay. Well, you know, that's going to come back around. And a lot of times people don't be thinking about that in the moment. They just want to get whatever they want to express out, which, hey, I understand. You know, you don't want to be bottling up a lot of that stuff, but it's going to come back to you. And it did. So, you know, he drops his Killshot record. It's good. And, of course, you know, some people who, if they don't respond to, hey, this is the greatest diss track ever, then you're hating, which is ridiculous. I think it was DJ Charisma that said it on Power 106, where he was saying that it's not a kill shot, it's more like a flesh wound to the leg. And he's like, and I'm a big Eminem fan, but he's like, it's cool. It's cool. And when I heard it, I'm like, oh, it's cool. You know, it's not a career ender. It's like, it's a cool record. Because it goes back to what Machine Gun Kelly said and what I've heard a lot of people say about him. It's like, yeah, you can rap a lot of words together. And I've said this before in previous pods. He raps incredible words together. But if they don't really hold any value or really make any sense, or sometimes there's really no meaning behind it, it's like, okay, well, then you're just someone that put together, like, clever puns. That's it. Like, Ludacris and Eminem are very similar because they're both entertaining rappers. But if you look at the course of their careers, because I think they compare the most, Ludacris has been able to balance being an entertaining rapper, but he actually has real lyrics behind a lot of the stuff that he says. It's just you get so thrown off because of the pop hits that he's had with, you know, Get Back and Stand Up and, you know, Move and Roll Out. You know, he's had so many records that have hit that people kind of mistake that. Like, no, Ludacris be saying stuff in his raps. And he's another one of those unsung, underrated, really great rappers to me that I've noticed that he's just been so consistent throughout his career. And then, you know, before he kind of really started making movies, he kind of stepped away from music. But Ludacris has been there a lot. So as far as with this Eminem thing, it's going to be kind of interesting to see moving forward, like if MGK will respond to him. It is kind of interesting to see this whole thing going on with, you know, MGK and G-Eazy, and then you look at Eminem, and if anyone you think would get dissed about some of this stuff, it's Post Malone. And unfortunately, that comes on the heels of another actually, you know, really talented rapper who passed away, in terms of Mac Miller. But those are just some of the things I kind of wanted to touch on. I'm pretty sure this is going to continue to unfold in the coming weeks, and I'll definitely probably touch back on it at some point. I definitely want to thank all you guys that have been still listening to the show, still following us. Definitely like, share, follow. Become a patron and support us. I want to thank D for all the continuous work that he's done on all these videos to get the content out to you guys. And looking forward to doing some more of these in the future. We got a lot on the way with the Stay Well podcast. We're looking to continue to grow. And we want to thank you guys who have been supporting this pod and supporting all the work that we're doing. We're looking very much forward to bringing you guys newer content in the coming weeks and months ahead. And again, my name is Jonathan Steele. Thank you for listening to Could You Be More Specific? Definitely continue to follow the Stay Well podcast, and I'll be talking to you guys real soon. Have a good one.